actually, we're just going to read one verse. Kind of tell you the story along with this, but let's read verse 35 of Acts chapter 20. It says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless the preaching of your word now. Lord, this is a holy hour, a very important time. And Lord, we know that lives are changed and godliness is accomplished through the preaching of your word. And so, Lord, we pray that that will be today. We pray that you would still our hearts. Help us, Lord, to lay aside all the thoughts and cares of the week and be able to focus in on what you have for us here today. I pray that you'd speak through me, fill me with your spirit, help me to say just what you want said and nothing more, we pray. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a little background to this verse. You know, it's a almost trite, that last part, last phrase in that verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But let me give you some background here. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, but he stopped to have a conference or a talk with the elders or the pastors of the city of Ephesus. He was in a hurry. He didn't go to Ephesus. He went to Miletus, which was a seaboard place, a ways from Ephesus, and he sent ahead a messenger to ask the Ephesian pastors to come and meet with him before he took ship to go to back to Jerusalem. So, while they're there on the shore, the Apostle Paul gives them some last instructions, and there is certainly a sense that they would be, in fact, his last instructions to them. And we read there in verse 36 to 38, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. This was a very heart-wrenching time for these pastors and for the Apostle Paul. There was a deep, abiding love between them. They owed much to the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his help there in the church in Ephesus, founding the church and all. And so... apparently, this was a rather large church. There were, like I say, there were it's a plurality of pastors that they had there. And so, at any rate, this was one of the last things that he admonished these pastors to do, and that was that it was more blessed to give than to receive. And certainly that is a important principle for pastors. We're to be givers. We're to give of our lives to the flock. And that's what he was admonishing these pastors here. But it is certainly also, I believe, an important principle for all of us to consider. That it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, he says that this was the words of the Lord Jesus. We don't read any place in the gospel account that Jesus actually said this. However, there are many things that Jesus said that were not recorded in the gospel accounts. And there obviously were many sayings and things that that Jesus had said, word of mouth, that were passed down. And no doubt the Apostle Paul is referring to one of these. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'd like to speak today on the subject, takers and givers. There are two kinds of people in the world, takers and givers. And I hope when we're all done, you'll be able to figure out whether you're a taker or a giver. Now, the truth of the matter is, we are all takers and givers to a certain degree, one degree or another. But if the pattern of your life is to be a taker, or the pattern of your life is to be a giver, I think that the message today will help to identify that. I hope so. And show you where maybe you are and where you ought to be. Somebody said there are two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. Takers may eat better, but givers sleep better. I think that's pretty true. Givers invest, and takers seek to be invested in. Now, we're talking about a lot more than just money here, though that is a part of it. But there's all kinds of giving, and there's all kinds of taking. We give love, or we take love. We give time, or we take time. We give energy, or we take energy. We give emotional strength, or we take emotional strength from others. So these are some characteristics of takers, the difference between takers and givers. I want to speak about four things here today. First of all, the fact that God is a giver. There's no question about that. God is a giver. Secondly, that the characteristics of a taker. We need to identify what the characteristics of a taker are, and then we need to identify what the characteristics of a giver are, and then we need to look at some scriptural support for being a giver. As Christians, we are to be givers. God is a giver. Can you give me a real quick verse that everybody knows tells us that God is a giver? Who can do that? John 3:16, right on the button. That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you see. And also Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The word minister just is the word serve or servant. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, here is the ultimate in giving, that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and suffer for the sins of mankind. That's the ultimate of giving. And if he'll do that for us, think about all the other things he will give us. See, that's what this verse is saying. He freely gives us all things. And then also in James 1:17 it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, God gives us so many things. God gives us our very life. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us all things that are necessary to sustain life. He gives us a perfect planet, perfectly suited out of all the planets and all the heavenly bodies up there. There's one that is suited to human life, and that is planet Earth. God gave us a planet just suited for us. God gives us hope. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us his grace. He gives us purpose. He gives us love. He gives us guidance, and he gives us victory in our lives. Amen? And he gives us his word. His precious word. Precious word. Did you read that little story in the bulletin today? About the lady lost her husband, the Muslims had attacked, killed her husband, killed her son, burned her church building, burned her home, but she found the treasure in the ashes. And the treasure was her Bible. Part of Genesis was burned and part of Revelations was burned. But the rest of it was intact. And she loved that Bible. She held on to it. And what a precious treasure that was to her. I wonder how much of a precious treasure it is to us. Hold your Bible up right now, will you? Is that a precious treasure to you? You know, I for the last 2 years, I read my Bible through once every year. But you know, this year, it's been different. I'm still doing that. And, you know, it takes about 2 or 3 chapters a day to read your Bible through in a year. But you know what I find myself doing? I'm reading way ahead. I'm way ahead of that. You know why? Because I don't want to quit reading. 10 o'clock in the morning will roll around, and you might find me still reading. I've read 8 or 10 chapters. Why? I don't want to quit. Because I love this book. It's precious. It's a precious treasure. And God Almighty has seen fit to give us this precious treasure. He is a God who gives. What a blessing that is. He is a God who gives eternal life to believers. He gives heaven to believers. He gives us a glorious future and an everlasting inheritance and so much more that he gives us. God is indeed a giver. Now let's talk about some characteristics of a taker. Okay. What is a taker? How do we recognize a taker? Well, now, as we're going through this list, you might find one or two things, or maybe more than that, that kind of fit you. And as I prepared this list, and I did some other research along with it, but I came up with some of the things myself, but some other research too. And as I prepared this list, every so often, I'd come up with something that, ooh, that just got me. Hey, I said, man, I'm a taker in regard to that. And I had to pray and ask God to forgive me and to change me. I hope maybe you'll do that today as we go through this list, okay? All right. What is a taker like? Well, they suck the life out of everyone they're around. They drain energies from others. Takers are often thieves or at least covetous. Takers are people who use people for their own purposes. They have a spirit of expectations. In other words, they expect others to make them happy. They expect others to come to their aid. They expect others to always be available to them. Takers are manipulative and deceitful. Takers will attempt to place a guilt trip on a giver. Takers see themselves as squeaky clean, completely self-righteous. They have done no wrong. Takers are takers quickly shift the blame off themselves and onto others. Takers always portray themselves as the victim. Takers have no contentment. Takers worry and fret about material things. Takers are fear-driven, fear of loss or failure, and fear of other things too. But not fear of God, necessarily. Takers are those who do not respect the possessions of others. In other words, they say or they feel in their hearts, what is mine, and what is yours is mine. Takers are very territorial. In other words, they want their space, and they don't want anybody intruding in their space. Takers, without embarrassment, ask for money or things. Takers have no thought for the rights or feelings of others. Takers do not respect other people's time and their inconvenience. Takers exhaust the emotional strength of others without a second thought. Takers believe family, friends, and church is there for their benefit. Takers do not clean up after themselves. Someone else can do it. And that was one of those that I had to stop and pray about. Takers cannot feel the pain of others, only their own pain. Takers want happiness and seek to fulfill it with pleasure or things. Takers are in constant need of attention and support. Takers are paranoid about having people trust them and believe in them. Takers will attempt to control people and change them for their own ends. Takers are selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed. Takers resist spiritual counsel and correction. In other words, they are unapproachable. Now, let me give you some examples, some biblical examples of takers, okay? Now, first one, when I tell you this one, you're going to say, well, he was a good guy, wasn't he? Well, Jacob, okay? Jacob wasn't all good. He had some problems, didn't he? He was a trickster, and he stole his brother's birthright, and then he stole his brother's blessing. He's a taker. Now, Jacob had some other good things about him later on, especially after he got right with God. Remember how he wrestled with the angel of the Lord just before he was got back to see his brother Esau, who had pledged to kill him, and he was very concerned. So, and he was left with a limp as a reminder that God was in control of his life. He better toe the line. Give him a little bit of fear of God, you see. And so Jacob changed quite a bit after that, but Jacob did have a problem for a long time with being a taker. By the way, let me just say this. We think about Jacob and being maybe he had some good points, and he did. Takers aren't always nasty and mean people. I think we'll see that in a minute here. But they're still takers. They still can be takers. Okay. A second example is Saul. Saul was certainly a taker. He wanted people to feel sorry for him and tried to produce a guilt trip on his men. And we read in 1 Samuel 22, verse 8, there is, Saul says to his men, they were sitting around under this tree. Saul had been chasing after David, trying to find him, trying to kill him. And Saul says to his men, "There is none of you that is sorry for me." He's placing a guilt trip on this man. Saul the taker. Absalom was a taker. Now, what did Absalom do? Well, he was a manipulator, and he used flattery designed to give him power in Israel, to give him followership in Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, it says, "And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment." So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And you know the rest of the story, how he rebelled with that band of soldiers that he had stolen their hearts. And so Absalom was a manipulator, and he used flattery designed to give him power. And then, of course, classically would be Ahab and Jezebel. They were certainly takers. They stole Naboth's vineyard, didn't they? But the biggest taker of all is Satan the devil. That's what he is all about, is being a taker. He wants to take souls from God. And he uses people, and then he destroys them. He uses a wife or a husband to destroy their own marriage. And I want to tell you something, young people. Listen to me. He wants to sift you as wheat. And then when he's done with you, he will throw you in the garbage heap. That's what the devil does. He's a taker. That's all he's about. What does it mean? Well, it means to be godlike, to be Christ-like, we must be givers. If we want to be like the devil, we can be a taker. That's what it means. Now let's talk about the characteristics of a giver. And certainly we could just kind of go through that same list and say the opposite of this is true, but let's look at a few things here. A giver is a life giver, an encourager, and it gives emotional strength to others. A giver always is concerned about the well-being of others. He's sympathetic and compassionate. A giver always is looking for ways to help others. A giver does not emphasize or demand his own rights. A giver does not get angry easily or bitter, and they are quick to forgive. A giver easily receives correction, and they're very approachable. As it tells us in James 3:17, the wisdom from above, one of those things is that they're easily entreated or approachable. A giver is generous, very generous. They always want to share and give all, and give almost to a fault, sometimes even enabling others. That's kind of the downside of a giver. They don't know when to turn it off sometimes. And along with that, then, givers are easily taken advantage of. But look what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15. And if there's an example of a giver, it would have to be the Apostle Paul, certainly. 2 Corinthians 12:15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you." Love. The Apostle Paul was a giver. He gave of himself to people all the time. And oftentimes he was taken advantage of, but it didn't matter. He continued to give. A giver will unconditionally love and will give unconditional love, and unreturned love. Doesn't matter if it's reciprocated or not, he will still love. Build a shell of emotional protection around them when they are hurt. A giver is willing to be hurt over and over again. A giver does not need to be noticed. A giver never feels sorry for themselves or complains. And here are some biblical examples of givers, okay? Well, first of all, Abraham was a giver. Remember when it came time to divide the flocks up and there was not room for Lot's flock and Abraham's flock? They both had become very wealthy. Their flocks had multiplied and the land wouldn't sustain both of them. So what did Abraham do? He gave Lot the first choice. He said, "Lot, you choose where you want to go and I'll go elsewhere." Well, we know the story. Lot chose the well-watered plain of Jordan, which turned out really bad for him. But the point is, Abraham was a giver. He gave him first choice. That's what givers do. If two children are sharing two pieces of cake, one piece of cake is larger than the other one. If one of the children is a giver, he will likely give the larger piece of cake to the other child. That kind of goes against nature, doesn't it? Yeah. You say, "Man, that didn't even happen." Okay. That's because of our sinful nature, all right? Another example, biblical example, Boaz. Remember Ruth, a widow, not only a widow, but she was a Moabitess, destitute, her and her mother-in-law, Miriam, Naomi. And Boaz stepped in there and sustained them. He was a giver. Boaz was a giver. The story of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament. The Good Samaritan was concerned for the injured man. He was a giver, while the priests and the Levites were takers. They didn't want to be disrupted with their routine. Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he was a giver. He searched out to find the Apostle Paul when Paul was in prison. And of course, Paul was a giver. As he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. But the best example, again, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate giver. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, somebody says, well, I'd like to be a giver. You know, let's talk about money for a minute. I'd like to be a giver, but I never have any money. I can't give because I never have any money. Well, let me give you 3 biblical reasons for hard labor, for labor, and for the money that you can earn from your labor, okay? The Bible is clear on this. Now, I just maybe a little sideline here, but just hang on for a minute. There are 3 reasons, biblical reasons, for work and the money that you earn from working, okay? 3 biblical reasons, no more, no less. Here they are. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians with me, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We find the first two in this passage in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Okay, now they're out working, making money. And here's the purpose, 2 of the purposes of that money. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. That's the first purpose. In other words, so that we can pay our bills. So that we can be honest and not thieves and pay our bills. If we don't pay our bills, if we owe somebody money and we promise to pay and we don't pay, guess what we are?
Thieves.
That's right. So, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are... You know, I am appalled by Christians who do this. What a horrible testimony that is. The second reason for money is given there in the second part of that verse. And that... ye may have lack of nothing. In other words, to meet your own needs and the needs of your family. The Bible tells us if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. Well, we need to work hard to be able to provide for our own needs and for our families, don't we? That's the second reason, legitimate reason, for hard work and for money. Okay? Third reason is given in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Turn there with me. I want you to see that. You say, well, I never have any money to give. It takes all my money to live on. It takes all my money to just pay my bills. Okay, you got those first two parts right. Okay. But let's look at Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. Well, in other words, you're not supposed to be a thief. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give. There's that word. That he may have to give to him that needeth. One of the third reason why we are to work hard and be diligent and to pay our, and to make money is so that we can have money to give to those who are in need. Give to missionaries, to give to God's work, to give to others, give to the poor, give to somebody who has a need. You know, I enjoy that. You know, God has blessed me financially. I'll be honest with you. God has blessed me financially in the last few years. And I just, when I hand somebody a $100 bill or something, I say, and they really have a need, and I do that, man, I just go, woo! You know, I don't do it out loud, but in my heart I do.
Why is that? I get a lot of joy out of that. I get a kick out of that. Man, I'm glad that God has enabled me to be able to do that. So part of the reason for money is to be able to give to those that have need. So you say, well, I don't have any money. Well, maybe you need to work harder. I don't know. They say you're working hard enough. See? Do what you have to do, but you know, use your head a little bit. You know, God put a good head on your shoulders, on most of us anyway. And use it. Use it to make money. You say, man, that sounds really materialistic. No, there's a good purpose in it. So you can have to give to somebody that has need. You see? Amen? That makes sense? We're talking about supporting missionaries. And I hope you noticed in the bulletin the giving that last Sunday for the missions conference. It was amazing. Our little church, between the mission offering and the love offerings that we gave and the general fund money that we gave, it was over $5,000. I almost fell over when I saw that. Right, Nathan? Well, praise the Lord. Some of us are learning about giving, aren't we? Amen. All right. So that's the purpose of money, and that, you know, let's go beyond money here a little bit. You know, what about giving emotional strength? Giving of your time and different things, you know? We can do that too. If we make good use of our time, if we're careful about that, quit watching so much TV and videos and stuff like that, maybe somebody needs help. Maybe we need to go help somebody, see? Maybe we can give to somebody, see? Give of ourselves to somebody. Well, finally, about givers. Nobody's happier than a giver. Do you know that? I'll attest to that, and the Bible also backs me up. Let's look at a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a, what kind of a giver? Cheerful giver. That's a really interesting word. The original Greek word is hilaros. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And guess where we get our word hilarious from. I'll tell you what. When you give, it can just be hilarious. Cheerful, that's what the word means. I mean, nothing can make you happy. I want to tell you something. The world has even figured this out in some cases. That's what the Peace Corps is all about. That's what, you know, you give to charities and things like that. People actually find joy, even unsaved people, in giving. Do you know that? What's wrong with us Christians? I mean, God put it right there in His Word. I mean, we just read it, see? We can be hilarious givers. I'm not just talking about money. Give our lives to others. What a joy, what a blessing that is to be able to do that. And then the next verse, our text verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what that word blessed means? Happy. That's just what it means. It's more happy to give than receive. You know, at Christmas time, what do you do, parents, with your kids? You say, you quote that, don't you? the kids. You know, they're getting kind of greedy about their presents and everything. Oh, it's more blessed to give than receive, you know. But we need to practice that as adults too. We need to be givers and not takers. What is the scriptural support for being a giver? Well, I've given you an awful lot already, but let me just give you some verses here real quickly, and I'll close. Matthew 16:24 tells us, if any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A giver is somebody who denies themselves and what they want and what makes, you know, what might seem good for them. They're willing to give that up. They deny themselves and they take up their cross. Follow Jesus. By the way, following Jesus means you're going to be like Jesus, isn't it? Mark 10:21 also says, Jesus said, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And Luke 9:23 tells us how often we're to do this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're to deny ourselves every day, take up our cross every day. Be a giver every day. Now, there's a third class of people besides takers and givers. If there are, they could be called reciprocators. You know what a reciprocator is? I'll give to you, expecting you to give to me. Okay? All right. Now, Jesus addressed that issue in Luke chapter 6. So, turn in your Bibles there with me. We're going to read several verses there. Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 40. Now, I want to tell you right up front, though, reciprocators are nothing more than cloaked takers. Okay? They're nothing more than cloaked takers. They want to make it look good, see? And they want to give you some motivation to give to them. All right, Luke 6:32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them who of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. Now, wait a minute now. Is he saying that if we give, that the person we give to is going to give back again an equal amount? That's a reciprocator. No, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that God Almighty will see to it that you, the others are giving to you, see? And that's the difference. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, all shall men give unto your bosom, into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And that brings me to my final point. If we are going to be like Jesus, we must be givers. That's the bottom line here. If we're going to be like our master,
we must be givers. Jesus was a giver. Romans 5, 6 through 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. And 1 John 3:16 again says, hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If Jesus did that for us, that needs to be our example. And we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for others. We ought to be willing to give for others, as Jesus gave to us. All those other scriptures, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And there's other scriptures as well. It's throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible, this principle. God wants us to be givers and not takers. Takers are selfish people. It's all about them. Givers don't even think about that. Don't even think about themselves. They're always focused on helping somebody else and being what the other person needs. So today, let me ask you a question. Are you a giver or are you a taker? And again, most of us probably would find ourselves maybe somewhere in between. But maybe one of these characteristics, maybe the Holy Spirit just kind of tripped your heartstring a little bit there. He did with me. And so, let's listen to him. Let's, if we need to change something there, let's be willing to do it. Get right with him and be a giver like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. The Father.